Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
Back for another week of Mom Talk Radio. It's you, me, and all of our challenges, problems, opportunities, as we might call them, in motherhood. They're all here. We're going to spread them all out throughout the next 48 minutes or so. And I'm glad you've taken a little time out of your day to be with us. I want to take a little bit of my time to thank our sponsor, Premama. Drinkpremama.com, where you will go to the website and find a whole line of doctor recommended vitamins, nutrients, supplements for the prenatal mom. And now they have a whole new line of digestive aid and infertility and lactation supplements, everything for you and your baby. And in just a few weeks, speaking of you and your baby, we are going to see the launch of Mother Nurture. And wait till you see this. Truffles and nutrient-enhanced water for the prenatal world. It's a new company called Mother Nurture. And the truffles are packed with DHA and folic acid, B12, and all of those nutrients that you're going to need. So can't wait. Hey, speaking about launching new products, have you seen, if you're the mom of a tween or teenager or even college student, the new Sprocket from HP? It is a printer that is no bigger than an iPhone that your teen, tween, or yourself prints out a 2x3 picture, similar to a picture that you might see in a photo booth. Really awesome. Does not use ink, so you don't have to worry about the ink running out. It's awesome. It's like it's $128. It's going to be the holiday gift this year, the hot one. You know, there's always one piece of technology that's around $100 that you can bet that the person that has everything is going to want and love. Well, this is it. It's called the HP, and you're going to be hearing a lot about it in the coming weeks. So you're going to hear a lot about some really great topics on Mom Talk Radio today. We are going to be talking with Stephanie Smith, who is the executive director of Scholastic News. We're going to be speaking with one mom, Jessica McFadden, who comes from the D.C. area, that is doing an amazing job running her own business and communicating with women and moms while she's raising her family. We're going to be joined by John Malone, who is an accomplished startup leader himself, and he's going to talk about what's new on his plate. And we've just got so much packed into the next hour that I'm really excited, and hopeful you'll stay with us for the entire time. But we know you're a busy mom, so if you have to step away, you can always find us on iTunes, download our app, and catch up on the old shows. But when we return, we're going to start with Stephanie Smith, who is going to talk a little bit about Scholastics.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to have with us today Stephanie Smith. She's a graduate of the University of Connecticut, and she now is a journalist in Connecticut, where she was a journalist in Connecticut before joining Scholastic Classroom Magazines in 2000. She's now the editorial director of Scholastic News. It's targeted toward grades 3 through 6, and it's a collection of classroom magazines focused on current events and nonfiction, skill building, literacy, and content. And we're so excited to have Stephanie with us today. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'm happy to have you here because right now there's a lot going on in the news. You speak to kids through current events, and it would just be interesting to get your perspective on how do we talk to kids about, let's say, the election, for instance, coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the election is a big topic for us, of course. Every 4 years, just about every magazine here, and there's quite a few of them from kindergarten through high school, we all cover the election in one way or another. And our news magazines cover the election the most, of course. But we actually start covering it in kindergarten, you know, talking to kids about, you know, basically how everybody's involved in a democracy and sort of, you know, why people vote and, you know, just sort of really getting into the civics of the election. And as kids get older, you know, our magazines for older kids cover more about, you know, the actual candidates and what's happening on the campaign trail, and we even get into some of the issues in the campaign and where the candidates stand on them. It's a very big deal for us. Teachers across the country rely on us for election coverage every 4 years because, you know, they need to teach it in the classroom as a way to teach civics and democracy and, you know, about U.S. government. So we give them on-level material per grade so that they can tackle this with ease in the classroom.
So how do you talk to a kindergartner about the elections?
Yeah. You know, our early childhood team is terrific. And how they figured this out this year is our kindergarten magazine is called Let's Find Out. And they surveyed their group of teacher advisors. Every magazine here has a group of teacher advisors across the country we work with to help plan our coverage. And about how they teach it in the classroom or how they're teaching it this year. And what most of them said is in order to teach elections in general, they use a fiction book, you know, called Duck for President. So what our Let's Find Out magazine did, it put a duck on the cover, and the headline is A Duck Can't Be President. And it ties into a book a lot of kids have read in school or at home. And then on the inside, because we're nonfiction magazines, the editors talk about, you know, what exactly happens when people vote. Like, you know, it actually follows a mom. You know, a mom reads the newspaper. She learns about each candidate, you know, and then it has a mom and her son going to the polling place together and explaining what that means. So it's a very, very cute treatment that really gets, you know, kids excited because they see the duck and then they learn all about what happens when people vote.
Do you actually talk about the candidates themselves?
In the kindergarten magazine, we do say who the main candidates are, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And as you go up in grade, like by grade two, we say who the main candidates are and then give a little bit more information about how one is, you know, Hillary Clinton is the candidate from the Democratic Party and Donald Trump is the candidate from the Republican Party. And then, you know, as I said earlier, the older kids get, the more information they can handle about the candidates, you know, and even where the candidates stand on the issues.
So what do you do about topics that are just current event topics that are just not easy to talk about, whether it's Black Lives Matter or election, you know, I don't know, topics that just aren't easy for even parents to talk about? Do you just avoid them or do you try to address them?
Yeah, we kind of do both. One of the ways, you know, we're successful is we've got a lot of institutional knowledge about what topics are appropriate by grade. So, for instance, and I guess this is a little bit of a no-brainer what I'm about to say, you know, you wouldn't probably cover Black Lives Matter for kindergarten kids. You know, it's a little too thorny, a little, you know, above their heads. But our junior high school magazine, which goes to kids in 6th through 8th grade, just did a cover story on it. You know, and basically what we do is we do what all journalists do. We do our reporting and, you know, and summarize the news in an accurate and balanced way. And depending on the age of the kids, we just make sure that, you know, we hit the main points but don't give too many details because, you know, there's only but so much information kids can handle by grade. And when we deal with thorny topics, I mean, really, really thorny topics and terrible topics, like, you know, our Scholastic News Online, which is our website for breaking news. For example, you know, going on 4 years ago, we did cover the Newtown shootings because we knew it was something every kid would have heard of. And we typically don't cover mass shootings because they are so scary. But, you know, that was one of the first major ones, and it affected a school. So what we do is we stick to the essential facts about what kids can handle, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And we really double down on sharing information about how people helped during the event, how adults, including the president, are working to make, you know, things like this not happen. I mean, Mr. Rogers famously said, you know, when you're talking about news for kids, you have to always remember the helpers. So, you know, it's a goal of ours to not just let, you know, have kids understand what happened in an age-appropriate way, but reassure them that adults are working hard to keep them safe, you know, when we handle topics like that.
You just mentioned the online magazine or newspaper as well as the classrooms. How do schools get the in-classroom paper, and is it something that parents can advocate for?
Yeah, they can. Basically, we sell directly to teachers, you know, schools, districts, and whether it's a superintendent or a principal or a curriculum developer or a teacher, him or herself, they subscribe. And sometimes the school pays for the subscription. Sometimes, you know, parents do, they chip in. Sometimes PTAs, you know, advocate for schools to get them and actually purchase them for entire grades or schools. We have magazines, like I said, from kindergarten through high school. And, you know, obviously the news is covered in our news magazines, but we have magazines for math and science and, you know, art, life skills, that kind of thing. And they're all sold the same way, directly to schools and districts.
And then the online one, is that something that we could subscribe to at home?
Yeah, our online site is actually free right now. I mean, we have magazine websites that support each magazine that are password protected. So, in other words, each kid in a class will get a copy of the actual print magazine, and then there is a website, you know, companion with it, where we have a digital version of the magazine, plus videos and slideshows and extra quizzes and teaching support.
Quickly, where can moms go to find more information?
It's galastic.com/election.
Thank you so much. When we return, we have Jessica McFadden in the spotlight. I am joined today by Jessica McFadden. She is a mom who's doing amazing things online. She's a mother of three. They are 12, 11, and 9, which I can't even imagine because they were just babies last time I saw them. And she blogs at aparentinsilverspring.com, or you can find her on Twitter at Jessica McFad. And I want to welcome Jessica to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Jessica.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I love Mom Talk Radio. Love joining your show.
Well, thank you so much. So, you know, it's really hard to believe that your blog and your business is a local blog, because you just have such a perspective on so many things that are just global to moms. But tell me a little bit about why you like to be locally focused.
I think the local focus is a great way for everyone, because once you kind of focus on your geolocation, you immediately can connect with people. It's something that is a niche that always has an audience. You know, we all have to live someplace, and our local community is so important to us. So it doesn't matter gender, age, interests, religion. That's a way to connect with your community.
But now, when you started your business and your local blog, you were not working. So how did you make that transition from, you know, going back into the workplace and the workplace being a little bit different than maybe the one you had left before you had children?
Well, I was just fascinated by the rise of social media. I started in 2008, and I had been out of the workplace because I had two little kids really close together, and I had been at a large PR firm in downtown D.C. So I was sitting there at home watching social media rise, and I just could not help myself. And then once I got involved, I just saw that it was such a great career as somebody who wanted some flexibility to not have to punch a clock and have those set hours when my children were small. I just found it was a great job to tailor to my needs.
Okay, so let's agree on this, though, that you thought you were busy when your children were small, and now they're 12, 11, and 9. Doesn't it get busier?
You could not have told me how much busier I would be now. I can't outsource more, though. I've learned, I think that's more of a psychological and an age thing, is that I thought it always had to be me, and now I love other people helping me out a lot more.
I know, but it just, you know, it's amazing. It's hard to tell someone that has a toddler, like, oh my gosh, wait till the homework and the school stuff starts, because if you thought you were busy, it will blow you out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most of my help comes in after school because I need like multiple drivers and just all of that to run on time.
Absolutely. So how long did it take you for your business to take off?
You know, I have to say it took off very quickly because this is back when there wasn't Facebook yet. And so when I started a local blog in 2008, moms in my local community were thirsty for information, and not everyone was using social media themselves. So I think that I did have that advantage, but at the same time, so many more people are more comfortable with social media now. But it took off very quickly because I identified a need that was missing, and I had a built-in audience through my local community groups that I was physically involved in, and also the online listservs that I was a part of. I brought them over with me.
Yeah. So we just have like 30 seconds more. Can you just tell everybody like where they find you and what they'll find on your blog?
So if you go to ParentInSilverSpring.com, you might see a good example of a local blog, if that's something that you're thinking of working on yourself. And if you go to ParentInAmerica.com, that's my website for parents everywhere. It's kind of my general mom blog about things I really love. So if you're thinking of starting a blog, you have not missed the boat. There's always room for more voices and more info. I highly recommend it.
Well, and I just want to, we didn't really get to talk about Jessica, and she is an amazing, like, fashionista. And so you might want to check out both of her blogs to see that sense of style that she has, because it's really, really cool. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we've got John Malone. He is going to talk to you about how you can get some help.
Succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
I'm joined today by John Malone. He is an accomplished and passionate startup leader. Previously, he was head of commercial operations at Way Systems, a mobile payment point of sale provider. And now he is the co-founder and CEO of Hourly.help, and he has done some amazing things, and he's here to talk to us today, starting with the topic of digitalized chore charts. So welcome, John, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
So let's talk a little bit about what is Hourly.help, by the way.
Hourly.help is a way in which parents can give their kids money in the right way. It's a digital way for parents to assign value for money that they're already given to their kids. And the best way I can describe it is If you've got a kid and your kid asks you for $20, as they are wont to do, instead of giving your kid $20, you put $20 into hourly.help. You assign jobs associated with that $20, either one $20 job or four or $5 jobs. And as the kid performs the jobs, the money gets released to the kid and they can spend it digitally.
And how is it released to them?
So the money gets moved over to their account. So there's a parent account and a kid account, and the parent account has the money in it, and they assign the jobs to the kid. And once they give the job to the kid, that as the kid performs before and after photos of the job that's done, the money's moved over to the kid's account, and they can spend it on in our platform on iTunes, on a prepaid Visa card, Amazon, anything they like, the usual stuff the kids are spending on.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, so and then how it could be any job whatsoever?
Yeah, so we've got six predetermined work areas, like the standard ones, kitchen, bedroom, bathroom, those kind of jobs. And then you can do your own custom jobs, too. So, for instance, with back-to-school times, many parents are doing jobs such as, hey, lay out your soccer gear. That's a job that's a really popular job this month, as you can imagine. Raking leaves is starting to get popular in the Northeast when the leaves are coming off the trees. So anything that you can imagine for back to school, those kind of things that you want your kid to do, you're assigning it in the platform digitally, and it just sends kids out reminders and texts that they've got to do. It's the way they learn anyway. So we're getting them jobs in their in the format they're used to receiving information, which is their phone or tablet.
And what are you hearing from moms about it?
So moms love our platform. Moms love the idea that we get to broker an argument for them about money. Instead of saying no, they say hourly. And I know that sounds a little cheesy, but you get to say, I put it in your hourly account. There's work associated with it. If you want that money, just do the jobs and it's yours. And it gives you time. As we all know, as parents, one less fight you can have with your kid is great. And so moms love the idea that they're able to do that. They can sit back and wait for the results, as they say.
Awesome. Is there a minimum of how much you can pay your kids?
No, you can pay. The platform allows you to do, I think it's a dollar right in there is the minimum that you can do. And that's just a function of digital. But in the next 30 days, we're going to be adding 50 cent and 25 cent jobs. But most people, the minimum they do for their kids is a dollar.
So could you set it up and like just pay their allowance through hourly?
Absolutely. That's what most people are doing anyway. In the United States, we're paying $5,000 a year for our kids and $780 to them into their hands. That's what we do. We give them $15 on average a week into their hand. We don't think of it that way anymore because they're doing it on – we're doing it in Minecraft. We're doing it in iTunes. I asked one mom, and she was like, I don't give my kids allowance. And then I asked her, do you ever pay for games on iTunes? She goes, yes, of course I do. That's allowance. We just think about it differently. We used to hand our kids money. We would get money from our parents. We'd run to the arcade. Now kids are getting money digitally, so we don't see it as much. But the money's definitely going to those kids. So absolutely, parents are paying their allowance with it.
Yeah, isn't that funny? We just don't realize how much. I know with me, it's normally I don't realize how much I've spent until I go to buy a cup of coffee or something, and suddenly I have no cash in my purse. And it just keeps going out with four kids.
Yeah, and I've got four kids, too. So it's so when we do soccer, it's $130 to sign up for soccer. And when we were kids, that was kind of a school or town program, and it certainly wasn't that much money for our parents. And if we wanted to do something, our parents were like, sure, you can go to Boy Scout or Girl Scout camp, but you're going to have to contribute. And we never expected anything less. We've kind of gone overboard in doing so much for our kids that parents like the idea that we're giving them permission to swing the pendulum back and say, hey, enough is enough. You got to work for stuff around this house. And that's okay because it's so much money we're paying for our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So so tell everyone where they can go to find out more information about hourly.help.
Yeah, if you go to hourly, O-U-R-L-Y, .help, that's O-U-R-L-Y. If you just Google that, it'll come up in your browser. Go watch the video, sign up for the program. If you go follow us on Facebook, we often have coupon codes, promo codes that allow you to get started for free, to give you some money. Like, we'll start by paying some of your kids' pocket money if you get one of those promo codes from Facebook. So we go to ourly.help.
Well, really great stuff, and I appreciate you being here on Mom Talk Radio. One more question. So how much do you pay your kids for their tasks?
I do $2. So I do $2 a job, but I have been known to pay my kids $10 to stop fighting. And I'm not proud of it, but it works.
And so what's the most popular job in your house?
And the most popular job is got to be – the least popular is bathroom. Obviously, most popular job is do your bedroom, because it's really hard for me to see whether it's done or not in the before or after photos on bunk beds. So the kids give before or after. So everybody likes to do that.
And so what do you take pictures of the before and afters, or does the kids take pictures of the before and after?
Inside of the platform, inside of when the kid is using it, the kid has to do a before and after shot of the bedroom before and then the bedroom after. And then you do approve with objection or reject. And moms do approve with objection way more than dads, which is a really interesting statistic. Dads just do approve. Moms are always like, hey, you said you would do the whole thing. Do the whole thing. So it's an interesting thing that we're trending, that moms are using it to teach as well.
Well, I have a feeling that we could talk an hour on why all the moms that are listening right now are not surprised with the fact that the men in their lives just approve and move on. But that's a whole nother show and another topic. Anyways, thank you so much, John, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. You can go to hourly.help, or you can go to Mom Talk Radio, where we have a link to the site right there on Mom Talk Radio. Don't forget, when you're there on Mom Talk Radio, you can send me an email or download our app for free and listen to some old shows. And listen, I've been on the air for 20 years, so you have a lot of shows to pick from when you go to Mom Talk Radio. But anyways, stop by our site. And you can see and read about all of the guests on today's show. When we return, we've got Robert T. Michael with us. He's the author of The Five Life Decisions, How Economic Principles and 18 Million Millennials Can Guide Your Thinking.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited to have with us today Robert T. Michael. He is the author of The Five Life Decisions, How Economic Principles and 18 Million Millennials Can Guide Your Thinking. He is the founding dean and distinguished professor at the Harris School of Public Policy Studies at the University of Chicago. And I am welcoming him to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Robert.
Hello there.
Let me hear about the five life decisions. How can millennials in particular guide our thinking on that?
Well, there's a wonderful body of data that the federal government has spent a lot of money collecting that informs us about the behavior of millennials, in particular those born in 1980, 81, 82, 83, 84, in that five-year period. There are 18 million of them, and they've been surveyed for now going 15 to 18 years, every year, face-to-face, for an hour interview about their life, the decisions they make, the behaviors they engage in, the consequences of the decisions they've made in the past. And in each of these five life decisions that the book talks about, I summarize some of the decisions those millennials have made on the grounds that knowing what people have decided in the past can be very helpful to young people that are making decisions today. And additionally, knowing what the consequences have been of some of the decisions the millennials have made can be particularly valuable to young people making decisions today.
Out of the 20 years that span a generation, so 20 years of millennials, why do they choose those 4 years?
Well, the federal government started this process back in the 1960s by taking age groups of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years and tracking them over time. Then they wait a decade or so, and then they start again. Okay, so the last set that they started with was in the late 1990s, and the Labor Department is the federal government that supports this program, and they're interested in the decisions young people make about getting ready to go into the workforce, and then the experiences and successes and failures they have in the workforce. So they wanted to start with folks that were, in this instance, age 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So it had to do with what year it was that they were ready to start a new one of these studies that dictated the age group that they began with.
What was the most shocking or interesting decisions or outcomes of these young people's lives?
These data are used a lot by the federal government. In fact, the Labor Department routinely uses information from these millennials in reporting to Congress about the behavior of the labor market. So they've been studied and studied and studied, and lots of academics have used these data to test their hypotheses and all. I think one of the more interesting aspects of the data from our point of view is that when these millennials were young, about age 14. They were asked a series of questions about their expectations and intentions, including questions like, how likely do you think it'll be you'll have a college education by the time you turn 30? Or how likely do you think it'll be you'll have a full-time job by the time you're 25 or 30? Very interesting and somewhat disturbing fact is the millennials were very optimistic. Okay, many more said they were 100% certain they'd have a college degree by the time they were 30 than, in fact, turned out to be the case. One can think about that as a good thing. That is, these are optimistic people that are gung-ho and certain they're going to succeed, and that certainly is a healthy, good attitude. On the other hand, it's important to be realistic and not overstate what your prospects are. So I think that's one of the messages that my little book makes, that it's good to be optimistic, but you do want to be kind of realistic about your expectations about behavior in life. I was born in the 1940s, just a couple of months after Pearl Harbor, in 1941, 42. And one would look at that as a pretty bad time to be born, a pretty difficult time to be growing up. But it turned out it was a wonderful period 10, 15 years later to have been a youth in the 50s and starting my work life in the 1960s. So the optimism strikes me as an attractive and a reasonable thing, even when you look at the prospects of the world and see some dire possible consequences out there as well.
I want to thank you for being with us. Can you just let everyone know where they can buy the book?
Well, the book should be in most bookstores by now. It's on Amazon, the Five Life Decisions, and those decisions have to do with, you know, education and occupation, the kind of work you're going to do, the kind of a partner you're going to have, whether you're going to have children and how you're going to raise them, what kind of health habits you're going to develop. It's a book with a lot of good ideas that are the same ideas that governments and businesses use, so I think they're important for men and women to understand well enough to use in their private lives as well. So the book can be on Amazon or any good bookstore will have the Five Life Decisions.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a link to the book on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be talking about some other unique forms of education that are happening right in Washington, D.C. I'm joined today by Lacester Johnson. She is the CEO of Academy of Hope Adult Public Charter Schools, an adult education provider in Washington, D.C. It was founded in 1985, and the school serves over 500 learners a year and has helped thousands of adults to improve their basic skills. She holds a master's degree from the George Washington University and 20 years of experience, and we're delighted to have with her with us today. So let's talk a little bit first about National Adult Education and Family Literacy Week. What is this all about?
It's about raising public awareness about the need and the value of adult education in our communities. There are about 36 million adults in this country who struggle with the basic academic skills, and we don't talk much about those people, and they're generally the folks that are hidden in the shadows. So it's a major issue that doesn't get a lot of attention.
So what kind of education are they striving for, and what are their challenges? Are they socioeconomic challenges?
It's a combination. So the adults who are returning as adult learners are coming back because they weren't able to finish their education when they were younger. And many left school not because they didn't value their education, but there were many social issues that they were dealing with. Many of the adults that we talked to were experiencing homelessness, had family members who were substance abusers or incarcerated. So there's a number of social issues that interrupted their education. And so now they've come back because they're finding it difficult to get the jobs that they need to improve their family's economic position. And also many of the parents who are coming in tell us that they couldn't help their children with their homework and they wanted to do better.
And so what kind of help are you providing them with?
We provide what's called basic literacy skills all the way up to college preparation. So if an adult walks through our doors and they're really struggling with reading and writing, and many are, they're coming in with mm-hmm. reading levels at about the sixth grade or below, or doing math at about a fourth grade or below. So we start with the foundation skills, but as adults start to improve their skills, we start to move them on a path towards advanced training, going on to college. We've had many adults come in with basic skills and not having a GED to going on to earning a college degree. So we do the full continuum of education.
Well, that's fantastic. What's your best success story?
Our best success story is the woman who, honestly, who's a recent graduate. We just celebrated her success a couple of days ago. She was a Chinese immigrant who came into our program, worked with us for 9 years. She didn't speak English. So we had to start from improving her basic English skills to getting the basic literacy skills. And now she's earned her high school diploma and really very persistent and has interest in going on to college or post-secondary.
Wow.
We have number of examples of individuals who've made these transformations.
So how can our listeners find out more information about your organization or some maybe resources in their own community?
If they'd like to learn more about Academy of Hope Adult Public Charter School, they can visit our website at aohdc.org. Or if they're not in the Washington, D.C. area, they can learn more by going to the website for the National Coalition for Literacy. And they have tons of resources and toolkits and information on how to connect to your local adult literacy councils.
Well, that's really amazing. Congratulations for all the wonderful things that you do. I'm sure that you have hundreds of great stories that you could tell us. We have a link to your website, aohdc.org, and I want to thank you so much for spending some of your day with us on Mom Talk Radio. And, you know, as you guys, and I shouldn't say you guys, all of us moms enter the fall season, which is upon us now. It's time to kind of work ahead a little bit so that we can enjoy the holiday season with our children. It's such a busy time. Just the other night, my daughter and I were looking at our calendars, and she looked at me. She goes, "Mom, I barely have time to go to the bathroom." And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's been my life for the last 18 years. It is such a busy time that we're coming to. So go ahead and plan ahead and put us on your plans as well, because we love having you stop by and listen to a little Mom Talk Radio. I'm Maria Bailey. I hope you have a great week, everyone. And we'll see you again right here, this place, this time, with more Mom Talk Radio.